Amen. Thank you so much to the band for that wonderful time of worship. Good morning, church. Some sad news for us this morning. A few days ago on the 31st of December, a church member sadly passed away, Freddie Watson. And we know that Freddie was, he professed Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. And we know that those who profess, those who believe in Jesus has life everlasting, that death is not the end, as we've just been singing. So let's keep Kath, Freddie's wife, the whole family in our prayers. And let's too keep David, Gillian, Mitchell in our prayers. David's dad sadly passed away as well. So let's be praying for them, praying for Kath. For the whole family, for the church. At this time, let's do that just now. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your grace in our lives. That's why we're here this morning, because of your grace. As we've been celebrating at Christmas there, Emmanuel, God with us, you have come among us and you have made a way for us to be forgiven and given life everlasting. We know that death is not the end. Death has been defeated, and our King is alive. Jesus is alive, and those who repent and believe in that truth of the gospel, of God's grace, share in his life, in that resurrection life. We thank you for Freddie, for the joy-filled man that he was, so happy and full of joy, generous. Thank you for his life, Lord, for the faith that you blessed him with. Lord, I pray that you would bless especially Kath and the whole family at this time, and David, Gillian, the kids, the wider family as well. Might they know your peace, your presence, your gracious, loving embrace in their life, Lord God. New Year and Christmas, time of remembering how good you are as a God, your faithfulness, how you've been faithful in redeeming your fallen creation, so gracious and loving and faithful through every day of our life. Lord, we celebrate that, but New Year and Christmas can be at a sad time as well. Of heartache and grief. So we pray for your peace, your comfort in the lives of those who are hurting. Might there be peace where there is heartache, Lord. We pray for that for your church and for this community, for your world as well, where there's a loss, mindful of Australia with the fires going on, houses lost, lives lost. Lord God, deliver your people from that. And where there's violence and tension in the world, we pray for your will, that your will would be done on this earth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So happy New Year to you all. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and New Year. I was unfortunately plagued with a very severe man flu over Christmas and for a good week. So it was grim, and I was holed up in bed, feeling sorry for myself. I'm not a very good patient. You know, Chloe's a nurse through the day as her job, and she comes home to be a nurse as well. So God bless her. You know, I'm not the best patient. But I was holed up in bed, and when you're not well and you're in bed, don't know about you, but you get time to reflect on things and think about things, think about your life. And this is the time for doing that as well, thinking about life, new year, making resolutions, looking at your life, what am I doing, what am I not doing, what should I be doing, and then making resolutions about what you know you should be doing. So the most popular ones: going to the gym, exercising, getting healthy. Anyone want to be brave? You know, whose resolution is going to the gym? Anyone? No? We're a fit church. We're a fit... or maybe you just don't want to publicly tell anyone, which is very wise. But that's what church is. You know, you get to be accountable to one another. What about eating healthy? Is that anyone's resolutions? Eat more healthy, yeah? Good stuff, Jillian. Ruth, eating more healthy, yeah? Our body's a temple. Got to eat healthy. What about a new skill? A hobby? Learning a language? Anyone doing that? No? Mark, you learn a language hobby, skill? Gonna hill walking, good stuff. Well done. Well done, Mark. Those are good resolutions. Keeping fit as well. Well, since you've been so brave, Mark, and shared yours publicly, I'll share mine as well. So my resolution this year is to go on more dates with my beautiful, wonderful wife. / nurse. So every week, folk will be asking you, Chloe, where's Rory had you this week? And it's whether that was wise or foolish, I don't know. But yeah, you'll keep me accountable, I'm sure, asking Chloe where I've had her. But New Year is a time of change, making resolutions in our life. And Chloe and I, we've got a big change coming up in our lives. If you thought Mark, the Kearney's getting Sky was a big change, well, this is a little bit bigger. God is good, and April, in a few months, is going to have a little brother. Yeah. God is good. God is good. Got a wee boy. One or two is not bad, he does. His nose is a bit wee. I mean, maybe when he grows. God is good. He's so good. These scans just blow my mind looking at how good God is. And, you know, it really puts these scans, these pictures, put Psalm 139 being knitted together in our mother's womb, the handiwork, the wonder, the mystery of God's work, puts it all into perspective. I just can't wait to see how April adjusts to this change. And you're all thinking, I can't wait to see how Rory adjusts to this change. Either can I, by God's grace. Yeah, but God is good. Just need to think of some names. You know, got some names. Artaxerxes, good one. Theocles, Agamemnon, good, strong, manly names. And I get to choose, don't I, Chloe? We'll see. But the passage that we're looking at this morning is John chapter 1, and it's all about brothers. Andrew and his brother Simon Peter. So we're going to be looking at verses 35 to 42. This morning in John 1. So the following day, John was again standing with his two disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah. We've found a Christ." Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, Peter." So we're going to be looking at and thinking about Andrew, the witness, the evangelist, the fisher of men. Andrew, focusing specifically on these two verses, verses 40 and 42. This morning. Now we have coming up the BGEA UK will be joining us, which is the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association of the UK. They're going to be coming to East Mains on the 29th of February, 9:30 to 12:30, and they're going to be running a course, the Christian Life and Witness course. You get this very fancy pack if you come along. It's for anyone who wants to be challenged to learn more about how to share their faith, what we've been thinking about as a church over the past few months in the mission-shaped living course, Each One Reach One. Please God, being more missional, more intentional, and witnessing, and that's what the course will be all about. And it is open for anyone. If you've got friends who want to know more about that, please do invite them along. Be an Andrew to one of your friends. You know, as Andrew finds his brother, shares with his brother, we found a Messiah, brings him along, do that with this course that we've got coming up on the 29th. Find out a friend who wants to know more. Bring him along. Be an Andrew for a friend, and you get some great resources, all completely free. You get these three books that I'll leave these on the welcome desk, and there's also some pamphlets about the Christian Life Witness course. You can take those away and learn more about it. And also coming up on the 30th of May, so in a little while, Franklin Graham, he's going to be in Glasgow sharing the gospel and preaching. He's doing a tour. I know that some people in this church were saved when Billy Graham was doing tours in Glasgow as well, and that God was at work then, and God is at work now. And in fact, my sister, older sister Megan, she was in Perth. She was about 10 or 11, and she heard Franklin preaching, and she came to faith that day and responded to the altar call that they give, and she's never looked back and been a missionary all over the place. So those are two important dates for your diary. 29th of February, got the Christian Life and Witness course, and the 30th of May, Franklin Graham will be in Glasgow. We've also got these cards. They should have been on most of our seats. My maths was a little bit out. So hopefully all of us have one of these cards. If you don't, have a look at the seats. But this is what we're going to be focusing on this morning. They gave us these cards, these I Am Andrew cards, and I thought it connects so much to where we are as a church, what we've been focusing on mission, on sharing our faith through the mission-shaped living course, and what we've been looking at as a church, that we're going to look at the person of Andrew this morning. So on these cards, you've got the scripture we're looking at this morning, and on the back, four simple things to be doing for the person that we pledge to pray for. So there's a wee line at the bottom. Have a think, have a pray this morning. Who is God laying on my heart this new year to be a witness to? It doesn't have to be one person. It could be a family, a couple, some neighbors, your whole office. Who knows? Well, whoever God lays on your heart, write their name down. There should be some pens as well. Pray for them, share with them, and bring them to one of these things. We've got the Alpha course coming up on Wednesday. Wednesday the 8th starts at 7. And I know it's short notice, but it just takes a minute to ask someone along to the Alpha course. Everyone is welcome. Get great food, great company, and to ask all the big questions about life that we all have. And then follow up. So we'll think more about this in a bit, but be praying and asking God, who have you got in my life that I could be a witness to, and pledge to pray for them, share with them, and invite them. So we're thinking all about Andrew this morning. So who is Andrew anyway, the disciple Andrew? I've got a wee quiz for us, and I've got some chocolates for folks who know the right answers. So if your New Year's resolution was to eat more healthily, which I don't think it was, what was jelly in. So you could share with others if you know the answers, but I don't think it was anyone else. So who was Andrew? Now, Andrew is the patron saint, whatever that is, of Scotland and other countries as well. But you might be surprised to know Andrew wasn't actually Scottish. He wasn't from East Kilbride. So where was Andrew from? And if you're not sure, it is in the chapter that we're looking at this morning John 1. If you're looking at John 1, a couple of verses after verse 42, it tells you where Andrew was from. So who could tell me? You could shout out, Bethsaida, well done. You get 3 chocolates, James. Well done. We've only got 4 questions. Oh, dear. Bethsaida. So, who did Andrew and his brother follow before Jesus? Who did they follow before Jesus? Who said that? Lorna? June? Well done. Here's your chocolates. And what was Andrew's job? What did Andrew do? What was his job? Fisherman. Well done, Len. And oh, is it your last bad day? Well, there you go. There's some chocolates for you. Well, the whole church knows now, Lynn. So it'll keep you right, you know. And this is about the place St. Andrews. What sport is St. Andrews known for? And I'll give you a wee clue, because you might not know. I use the word sport very loosely. I'm just joking, David. Calm down, calm down. I mean, if you don't break a sweat, is it a sport? But yeah, it's golf. Who shouted it out? Someone, well done. Well done, Graham. Here's your chocolates. There's some chocolate for you, Graham. Is golf a sport? Yeah. Speak to me afterwards if you can make your case. You know, but that is just a few facts about Andrew for us. Now, Andrew is not one of the most well-known disciples. Not like his brother, Simon Peter, and not like John. And Andrew is often referred to in the scriptures as Simon Peter's brother, as we see in these verses. Simon Peter's brother, Andrew, which, you know, he's a little bit in his brother's shadow. And often this will happen because Andrew would have been the younger of the brothers. So he would have been known as Simon Peter's brother, or he was simply less important. And so it's a bit brutal, but I think it was because he was younger than his brother Simon Peter. But we in fact see that it was Andrew that finds his brother Simon Peter, and Andrew that shares with him, we find the Messiah, and Andrew that brings him to the Messiah, who brings him to Jesus. And that reveals to us Andrew's heart. We see it as well in John chapter 12. A group of Greeks come to Philip and ask if they could see Jesus. And Philip doesn't bring them to Jesus. He instead brings them to Andrew. So there's a little bit of hesitancy. You know, is Jesus just for the Jews, or is he for the Greeks as well? But Andrew knows that Jesus is for everyone. He forgives everyone that trusts in him. So Andrew brings these Greeks to Jesus. He's a fisher of people. And that is Andrew's heart. We see it in these verses. See it in John 12. Give that a read over the next couple of days. And this is Andrew's heart, to bring people to the Messiah. I'll read these verses again. And this is the ESV translation, I believe, which kind of highlights something important. It says, he first found his own brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we've found the Messiah, the Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you're Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas, Peter. So there's 3 things that these verses reveal to us, more than 3, but 3 things that really stand out about mission. Mission is simple, mission is urgent, and mission is intentional. Andrew, when John says to him, there is the Lamb of God, and Andrew follows Jesus, he doesn't for the next days, weeks, months, years, follow Jesus, studying all that Jesus does, getting all of the information that he can to then go back to his brother Simon and say, here is exactly why this is the Messiah. That's not what Andrew does. Andrew doesn't do tests and study for weeks, months, years, and then go to his brother. But the passage says he first found his brother. And when he goes to his brother, he doesn't give a 4 or 5 hour lecture. This is exactly why Jesus is the Messiah. Andrew says this: "We found the Messiah. He's over there. We found him." That's all he says. End of sermon. "We found the Messiah." That is all Andrew says. That is how simple it is. We are a people who have found, or better yet, we are a people who have been found by the Messiah. We've been saved. We know our Savior. That is the gospel. We know hope. We know our Savior. We know life everlasting. Death has been defeated. That is it. We know our Savior. Mission is simple, and it's urgent as well. There is an urgency in what Andrew does. He first found his own brother. Andrew doesn't go back home, you know, and wait weeks and months until his brother says, "Have you seen the Messiah about by any chance?" and wait for his brother to organically bring it up in conversation so that you wouldn't offend him. No, that's not what Andrew does. Andrew finds him. The first thing he does, find him, and he tells him immediately. He finds him, he shares with him, and he brings him. There's an urgency in mission. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, certainly I struggle with that urgency, with that importance that we're entrusted with the gospel message. We don't know how long people have in this life. We don't know the day or the hour that Christ will return. There is an urgency in mission. Not a panicked urgency. Oh, we absolutely need to tell people, as if God isn't in control. God is in control. God is the one who saves, not us. But we've been invited to take part in mission. There is an urgency in sharing the truth of life, of salvation, of Jesus with others. But I'll confess, I can lose that urgency, that yearning, that longing that people would know God. You know, when life can overwhelm us, I'm sure many of us have been in this place. If not, please chat with me at the end. But, you know, life can be hectic. It can be busy. Things can pile up. I've got a dog to walk, got dishes to do. April's wanting to hear Baby Shark for the 50th time today, so she's crying. Got so much to do. That longing to see people come to the truth of Jesus, that they would be delivered from all that binds them, that they would know life everlasting, joy eternal, not a fickle happiness that changes with the weather, but joy, true joy. That longing that people would know, that we can lose that. And the moment we realize we've lost that hunger, lost that longing, pray. Come before God. Ask God to renew in us a love for others, that we would love them so deeply, as we assume Andrew loves his brother so much. What's he going to wait about for? You know, he's found the Savior. He loves his brother. He wants his brother to know what's true. So he finds, he shares, and he brings his brother to the Messiah. There's no point in hanging about. This is true. This is salvation. This is the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One. So there's an urgency in mission. And if we've lost that, let's come before God this morning and pray that he would put in us a heart, his heart, of love for him and love for others. That we would love to see them come to a saving faith in Jesus. And the third thing, intentional mission is intentional. So Andrew doesn't accidentally find his brother and accidentally share with him, "We found the Messiah," and then accidentally bring him. These are three very intentional actions: finding someone, sharing with them, and bringing them. It is intentional. You know, these are deliberate choices that Andrew makes. Speaking up and stepping out, sharing our faith are deliberate actions. You know, inviting people along to the Alpha course, these are deliberate actions. We're going to be looking at the Luke account of this in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus says, you know, let your nets down to catch the fish. That is an intentional action. You know, you've got to let the nets down in order for the fish to be caught. So mission is simple. Mission is urgent, and mission is intentional. So those are three helpful points as we're thinking about the new year and those that we pledged to be praying for. You know, let's know that it's intentional, it's simple, and it's urgent. I was reading an article the other day about something that the current Pope, Pope Francis, something that he said about mission, about not doing mission, to be more accurate. He said, and I quote, "It never occurred to me, and nor should it, to say to someone, you're Jewish, you're Muslim, come and be converted. We're not living in the times of the Crusades." And I think that's a pretty widespread mindset. You know, we don't want to offend someone. We don't want to upset someone. We don't want to be provocative. And the Pope went on to say, you know, we're all children of God anyway. So who am I to share with them? And I think that reveals a relativism, a kind of postmodern mindset. You know, they've got their religion, they've got their truth, they've got their beliefs, and I've got mine. You know, so who am I to share with them? But quite simply, this isn't in accordance with Scripture. This is not what Jesus says. You know, when in Matthew 28, Matthew 28, where Jesus said, go and make disciples of which nations? Of this nation, that nation? Not that nation. Go and make disciples of all nations, Jesus said. Go and make disciples of all people, that our love would be like Andrew's love for his brother. We would so long to see them come to a saving faith that we wouldn't just share with some people, wouldn't want to offend them. You know, this is true. This is redemption. This is salvation. We long to see all people, all nations, come to a saving faith in Jesus. And you know what Jesus says as well in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, that we are the light of the world, he says. Those who follow him are the light of the world. And Jesus says sometimes you got to put a bowl over that light, because that light might offend people, you know. That is exactly not what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't put a bowl over the light. What good is a light if there's a bowl over it? Put that light on a lamp so that it would light up the whole room. Yeah. So we are all to be witnesses and have such a love for God, for others, that we would pray for them and we would share with them and we'd bring them along to Alpha, to the Christian Life Witness Course, to a meal, for a coffee, that we would share what God's done in our life with them, as Andrew does with his brother. And just as I was reading what the Pope was saying about, you know, not doing mission with some people, Romans chapter 10 came to my mind, where Paul writes, you know, how can people believe if they have never heard of him? How are people going to believe in Jesus if they've never heard of Jesus? And how are they going to hear of Jesus if we never speak about Jesus? Romans 10 is as simple as that. How are people going to believe if they've never heard of him? And how are they going to hear of him if we're not speaking about him? Jesus is the only way, the only Savior, and this is the best news that anyone could ever hear. So might God put in us such a loving heart for others that we would share the truth of the gospel with them. So, in all of the other gospel accounts of this encounter with Simon and Andrew and Jesus, Jesus describes them as fishers of people. And especially in Luke chapter 5, that's an especially detailed account of this, as Luke's gospel often is. And Jesus says to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets to catch fish. Simon said, Master, we worked hard all night. All night we've worked hard and we've caught nothing. And then Simon says, I will do as you say, is the ESV or NIV or the NLT. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down. I've Simon, Andrew, fishing is their bread and butter. That's what they do. Day in, day out, they fish. Yeah. And here comes a carpenter. Yeah, comes to them and tells them how to fish. Yet they are expert fishermen. That's what they do, what they've been raised doing. They know these waters, they know the fish, they know how to fish. Yeah. And the carpenter asks them to go into the deep and let their nets down. But Simon says, if you say so, I will let the nets down. I will do as you say. Might that be the prayer of our lives this morning, this year? If you say so, I will do as you say. Whatever the cost, I'll do as you say. Wherever you ask me to go, I will do as you say. Whoever you ask me to speak to witness to, I will do as you say. And casting out our nets, as I said, is an intentional act. You know, as Simon does that, he goes out into the deep, he casts out the nets, and God fills those nets. All Simon had to do was cast them out, and God fills those nets. And when we do that in faith, when we cast out the nets of our testimony, when we evangelize, when we witness, when we share our faith, we're casting out the net. And it's not for us to fill that net with fish, but God is faithful, and when we do what he says, he fills that net with fish. But we've got to let the nets down. We've got to cast out the nets. We've got to share our faith. People aren't going to know the name of Jesus if we're not saying the name of Jesus. Casting out our nets, and God fills, as we see in the passage, with such a multitude of fish, it is overwhelming for them. The nets literally can't hold it. The boat's too small, and they shout for help, and they bring their partners in another boat. Such is the multitude of fish that they caught. And this is such an encouraging verse, certainly when I read this, because it makes me think and imagine that when we cast out our nets, share in our faith with others, that there is such a response, yeah, that we can't handle it. You know, the church isn't big enough. We've got to look to other churches, look to other members of the body, so that they can take some people, you know, relying on one another as we cast our nets out, relying on life groups to be praying for people, to be praying for us, relying on each other, relying on other churches, relying on other organizations, you know, who love God, who love people and want to cast nets out and want to see East Kilbride, this community, and Scotland and the world come to a saving faith in Jesus. But we've got to cast our nets out. So like Simon Peter, when Jesus said, you know, go into the deep, cast out your nets, I will do as you say. So what is our response to Jesus when he says, go and make disciples of all nations, go and cast out your nets? What is our response to him this morning? Is it like Simon, I will do as you say? Over the last couple of days, a few people in the church have been going out in the street, the Alpha team. We did it in November, if you remember. And we're handing out information pamphlets about the Alpha course, inviting people along to the Alpha course, and we did that on Friday and on Saturday. And I was so encouraged that when we're out in the streets, and Pamela and I were out together on Friday, she's going to come up in a minute and just share a little bit about and the encounters we had in the street. But I would say on average, and I'm a complete stranger. I look like a maniac going up to people and trying to tell them about, have you heard of the Alpha Course? But about, I would say, one in four people generally listened to all that we had to say. They stood and listened. People were so receptive, complete strangers. Yeah, it's the most un-Scottish, un-British thing to do, walk up to a complete stranger and have a conversation with them, not just say, all right, and walk by. But people were so receptive and willing to listen, to accept what we had and respond positively. But, you know, mission isn't all rosy. I was reading some of what Whitfield wrote. He was he preached in the street every week, every day he tried. And he spoke about times when folk could throw rotten food and live cats at him. Literal cats they would throw at him. And he thought that was a good day because, you know, that's when you're preaching the gospel, when folk throw actual cats at you. But thankfully, that didn't happen on Friday. I'm allergic to cats. That wouldn't have been nice. But it didn't happen to us. No one was punched in the head. Everyone was lovely and so responsive. And it was so encouraging. So it's daunting going out on the street. To do that is daunting coming up here as well. So let's make Pamela feel very welcome. Let's give her a round of applause. Pamela. So just share a wee encounter that we had on the street that comes to mind.
Good morning, guys. And it's funny, I was sitting listening last night and I was going to sleep and didn't get any time to prepare or anything. So my daughter was up till 11 p.m.
No.
Keep in mind, my head started with, how do you say Rory?
I respond to anything, really.
But as I was reading my devotional this morning, it was saying about, it's funny how you spoke about the light and the darkness, and Joyce Myers was saying about a pot, if you put a candle over a pot, you know, if that pot is a little cracked, like my cell phone, pot. But, you know, I'm still a little cracked, and that's okay, but because I want to Jesus. There was this young man hanging about, you know, just listening, you know, the heaviness around him, and he was getting a slip for the food bank, which is another one. So we need to go blind, and I think, two buses to get food. And it made me very, very sad. And me and Rory had walked around after seeing this young guy, and he came after us.
Yeah, he came up to us. We were chatting with someone else. That's it. Slap up meal, lobster thermidor. You know. Yeah, thank you so much, Pamela. It was so encouraging, and it's good for our faith when we step out in faith, see that God is at work, that God is faithful, and people are receptive. People know what is true. All creation cries out. The heavens declare and reveal God. People know deep down what's right, what's true. So it's so encouraging to be out. But the cards that we have, please do. Invite whoever you've written down, whoever you've pledged to be praying for. Invite them along to Alpha. It does start this Wednesday, so you've not got long. But that's the launch night, which is folk getting to know each other, playing some games, having a good time. And then the course actually starts the following week. So even if they can't make it on the 8th, that's fine. Invite them for the following Wednesday. And it just takes a minute. Just takes a minute to ask someone, you know, have you heard of the Alpha course before? We've got one coming up in the church. You get great food, get a great meal. And you ask all the big questions about life that everyone has. You know, is there more to life than this? What about God and eternity and all of these questions that we all have? And it's a safe place to explore these questions. So do invite whoever we've pledged to be praying for. Invite them along to the Alpha course and share with them as well, you know, what God's been doing in your life. I saw on Facebook just the other day, I think it's called the Decade Challenge. Did you all see that? Is it called the Decade Challenge? Yeah, something like that. And it's not really a challenge. You just post a photo of yourself from 10 years ago and then a photo of yourself now. So that's the challenge done. But that's all it is. And then some people would say what's been going on in their life for the past 10 years. But think about that and share what God's been doing in your life. And when I think about my own life, 10 years ago, I was lost. I didn't know Jesus 10 years ago. I came to faith at 19. I'm 28 now, so 9 years ago. So when I was 18, I was completely and utterly lost. And I knew that I was totally lost, completely lost, lost in my sin, had no hope. And what God has been doing in my life for the past 9 years, God has been so faithful every day, every minute of my life. He is faithful and He is good. And so just share with people what God's been doing in your life and how good God is and where you've been and where you are now. And follow up with them. And follow up with each other as well. You know, how are you getting on with praying for them, with sharing about them? Follow up with each other in life group at church, as well as with resolutions. You know, Chloe, Rory had you on a date recently. But follow up with each other about this, about pledging to be an Andrew to someone and to witness to them, to have the love that Andrew had for his brother and for others, that God would put that heart of love in us for him, for each other. So what we're going to do now is just start this, and we're going to pray for the people that we pledged to be praying for and sharing with and witnessing to. And if you're not sure who you're going to be praying for, then pray about that, that God had put someone in your mind, in your heart, and write their name down. If the band can come and join me. And let's have a few minutes of praying for this person just now. Thank you. Lord God, we bring before you those that you have laid on our hearts, those who you've put in our lives, that we would be a light to them, that we wouldn't cover up the light of you in our lives with a bowl, that we wouldn't do that, Lord God, but that bowl would come off, that we would be a light into the lives of others as you're at work in us. Lord, that you would put in us a heart of love for you and longing, yearning to see others come to a saving faith in you, Lord God, that they would know life and hope everlasting, that they would know death is defeated, that they are forgiven of their sins, and that they would know you, Lord. Open up the hearts, the minds of those that we've written down, Lord God, and open up our hearts and our minds to that heart of love for others, that we would know mission is simple, it's urgent, and it's intentional, Lord. Amen.